We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray God's Word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the Word with us.
Well, I do just want to echo what Melanie just prayed there. You know, whether or not you are married right now currently or are single and one day thinking about getting married, tonight my prayer is that I hope that as you listen, there is just a lot of power in the simplicity of what God's plan was for marriage. And God had an eternal plan whenever he put out his design for marriage. And again, as you listen, there's a lot of things that we could talk about. There's a lot of different points that I could try to articulate in the time that we have. But really, what I just want to do is just kind of start here at point number one, and we're just going to jump right into it. God's plan for marriage has and always has been and always will be centered around the idea of one man and one woman coming together as one. So one man, one woman, one flesh. And there's an important question there that you might have that I wrote, put in there in your notes just in case if you weren't just kind of be thought-provoking here. Why? Why did God do this to us? Why did God do this to us? You know, why did God set it up like this for us? You know, we're going to read here in Genesis 2, verse 18. We're going to read here. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, all the wild animals. But still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last the man exclaimed, "This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Why? Why did God do this? Why did God do this to us? And you may feel that way sometimes. Why did God do this to me? You know, why is my wife, you know, why couldn't I be like John Wayne in Hondo and just have a dog that I just rode around with and just that's my companion? Or why couldn't, you know, some of you ladies be like some of these crazy cat ladies and just have a million cats and that be enough, you know, for you guys to have? Well, I think it's really important here that as Adam could find no suitable helper among any of the animals, do you really think that God was scrambling here? No. Do you think that as God is parading all the birds, all the livestock, do you think it was because God didn't already know what the answer was going to be? Right. No, what God was doing is he was revealing to Adam that there is nothing about any animal or any creature, nothing else on the earth or in the heavens that is suitable enough to be a helper except for that is also made in God's image.
That's correct.
And so what we need to see in the male and in the female, in woman and in man, both were created in the image of God. And so when it comes to a spouse, when it comes to companionship, when it comes to a partner, there's nothing else that can satisfy. It was only in God's image that the man and woman were made. Your spouse, for those of you that are married and those who are not yet, is your most suitable helper. For better or for worse, the most suitable helper for you. And this covenant, like we read there at the end of Genesis chapter 2, clearly depicts something that's not just meant for us, but also to be a symbol later on for how Christ sees us. This mystery is revealed in Ephesians 5, verse 31, it says, "As the scriptures say, as man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one, this is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." When a man and a woman come together and are married, there is a symbolism there that is supposed to be a representation of us and Christ. When we have closeness in the marriage covenant, when we have in our covenant a covenantal closeness, we also see the closeness that we should be sharing with Christ. It's no mistake that God didn't just form out of the dust woman, but instead out of the side of Adam, he produced his mate. It was out of Christ's side, out of his own flesh, that the church was brought forward. You and I. And so when we were talking about this covenant, when we're talking about this thing of marriage, when we're talking about preparing for this, like I said, y'all who are single or those of you who are engaged, those of you that are married, you need to have an understanding of what marriage is about, because if you just see it as, well, it's one man, one woman, we got to come together, and you miss the spiritual relevance of what God intended marriage to be, it's a type and shadow of us in Christ. So no wonder the enemy hates marriage. No wonder the enemy wants to destroy your marriage. No wonder the last thing the enemy wants is for you and your spouse, you and your potential person that you're going to marry or the one that you're married to right now, for that marriage to be good, because that's a representation of how Christ loves us. So if he can get inside of it and he can try to destroy it, then that goes to what he wants. That's why the enemy wants nothing better than to tear you apart, cause your differences to lead you both in frustration and humiliation and shame and contempt for one another instead of a close-knit covenant. Now here's the deal about close-knit covenants, and it's how it is with any close relationship. The people who can hurt us the most are the people who are closest to us. The person at the checking out my groceries at Walmart can't really hurt me all that bad. Okay, they charged me too much for something. Well, y'all get what I'm saying. The waiter can't really hurt me that bad. Okay, my food wasn't cooked to my liking. They didn't get everything down. But the people who we have been called to be in covenant relationship with, people, our own spouses, our own families, our own church, those are the ones who can hurt us the most, because we're closer, because we have higher expectations. But you've got to see that this was always God's plan. Not that man, it's not good that man should be alone. And so I want you to see that there in our first point and the why behind it. And this leads me to my second point. You are your spouse's answer. You're your spouse's only biblical answer. As a matter of fact, you're God's answer for your spouse. Because a man has needs that only a woman can fulfill, and a woman has needs that only a man can fulfill in the marriage union. And just really quickly, we're going to go through some of these. But for a man, he's got three top needs: respect, peace in the home, and sex. And when we're talking about respect, here's what you got to know. Ladies, give him an opportunity to be your hero. I'm not talking about bowing down and worshiping the guy. I mean, it's nice and all. I imagine that would be nice. But give him an opportunity. You know, one of the things that Hannah and I used to really struggle with at the beginning is with who her dad is. Her dad was her hero growing up. Now, she loves her mom, don't get me wrong. Her mom's got a lot. But her dad was her hero. And for me, coming into a marriage as a young guy, I don't know how to fix that. I can't. But I didn't even get an opportunity to fail. The situation would come up, and I come home and, hey, babe, I just want to let you know, I already called Dad, but hey, this wasn't working, and so he said, you need to do this. Well, okay. I guess I'll do what your daddy says. Now, I probably would have put in a call to him myself after a little while, but... And here's what you got to know, ladies, when we're talking about respect, it's not about something crazy or ridiculous, but just give him an opportunity. And I love giving this example. I love giving this example. It's like a pickle jar. I don't care if the guy is 6, 60, 16, whatever, but you're sitting there with that pickle jar and you're trying to open it. Could you open this for me? You betcha I can. Yeah, put the old squeeze on it, get that thing popped off there. See, it's little things. It's little things. But you give him an opportunity, showing respect merely is just allowing us an opportunity to show you that we want to act for you. Okay? Men, you're going to love this one. Peace in your home. Peace in your home. And a pastor gave us a bunch of verses last week, you know, talking about how it's better to live in a desert than to live with a nagging wife. And please hear me, ladies. I didn't bring up those verses. Pastor Asher did. Okay? Or was it Mel? Oh, was it Mel? Oh, gosh. Sorry. It was Pastor Mel. Sorry. Yeah, Ashley would have never done that. Never, ever done that. Especially since Michelle's not here. But here's what I want you to hear, ladies. It's more than just you not nagging. Are you friends with your husband? Are you friends with your husband? Or is everything a transactional relationship? Titus 2:4 says these older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Ladies, I want to show you something here about this word love here. We know you agape love. Okay, I mean, if we can, I want to keep that verse up there just for a second, that Titus 2:4. Love their husbands and their children. That word love, that love word is not agape love. Okay? It's not agape love. Agape love means unconditional, selfless, given with freely without any condition. Again, men, you're gonna thank me for this, all right? This love is phileo love, okay? Brotherly love, friendly love, and it's characterized by warmth, delight, and loyalty. Think about Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. What that's talking about is friendship, okay? So when Titus is saying, teach these older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands, what he's saying is teach them how to be friends with their husbands. And ladies, here's what you got to know. And don't worry, we'll get the men here in just a second. When guys hang out like brothers and we're showing loyalty and we're, it's not about talking all the time. You get some guys all hanging around, one of them's cooking. Everybody's just looking at the grill and one guy's grilling. It's why you'll have one guy in the hole digging the hole and a bunch of guys around the hole watching him. It's not about what's being said. It's just, can we be in the same room together, just being shoulder to shoulder? We're just friends. It's not about having to have a conversation about something all the time. Hey, can you just come in there? Hannah, one of my favorite things that Hannah and I do. Hey, babe, can you just turn something on? Not for us to watch, but just something that's just on and we can just both be in the same room together. I don't even care what it is. I don't care if it's Gilmore Girls or one of her other terrible shows. Because I'm going to read my Bible while she's watching whatever she's doing, you know. But I just like being in the same room with her. It's not always about talking, women. It's not, men. Phileo love. Ladies, peace in the home. Can we have some friendship in our home? Okay? And the last one here is sex. And listen, we can joke about this. You know, we can make this a big joke and a big whatever. But I do just want to let you know this because you may not understand this. The perverted sexual industry of pornography, sex trafficking, all that terrible, awful, perverted things that the enemy has, brings in more money a year than the MLB, the NBA, and the NFL altogether. We're talking about a $1 trillion industry. So we can laugh about it. We can joke about it. Or we can understand it's a real need. Now again, please, I do want to say this. We do have to get our minds out of the gutter. And you're right. Men, we've got to get our minds out of the gutter. But I also want to say this. I just wish some of the wives would take, I want to help with that. And please hear me. I'm not saying any pornographic addiction or anything like that is because of a wife. But I do just want to say that though. I sure wish some of our wives would get involved with being a help there, okay? So those are three needs that a man has. For a woman has three needs. And ladies, you're going to love me for this. You're going to love me for this, all right? The first one is love. Men, A woman wants to feel that you love her. She's heard you say it. She wants to know, show her that you love her. I get it. You said I do, and you meant it. But when have you said it since then? I get it. On the anniversary, it's I love you, if you remember. But what are you doing in the day in, day out that continues to say, I love you, I'm pursuing you? We've got to show it, and we've got to show it a lot. Women are weird, guys. They're weird. They want to talk it out. They want to talk about it. So we've got to show them that we love them at the best of times and at the worst of times, that our love is agape. It is unconditional. Okay? The second thing is attention. And again, ladies are going to love me for this. Women want to be listened to. They want to be recognized. And again, while men, we don't want to have a talk about it all the time. Ladies, is it not nice when your man does something kind for you or nice for you and you didn't even have to ask for it? When you didn't even have to ask, when you didn't even have to have a conversation or, is it not? It's because it's the attention to a detail that speaks to your heart. I saw this and I thought this was really interesting. There's a very famous divorce lawyer, and he has a podcast, and I like to listen to what he has to say because he makes a lot of money because he does so many divorces all the time, which is terrible, but he gives a lot of insight into what causes marriages to fail. And he was asking his client when she knew her marriage was in trouble. And I want you to get this. This wasn't some big, huge adulterous relationship. It wasn't some giant financial problem that started it. It wasn't, she said, whenever I knew our marriage was in trouble, whenever he stopped buying the kind of oats that I like. See, she liked to eat very healthily, and she had a certain brand of oats, and she would never, ever have to go to the store and buy them because for years, he would go to the store and buy them for her without her ever asking, hey, while you're going, he just always did it. But she knew that her marriage was in trouble the moment that he stopped doing that. And I think it's important. There was a detail. Attention stopped being given. And I just want to say this, men. You know what she likes. You do know. You know what she likes. And if you're dumb like I am, write it down. So you definitely don't forget what that thing was that she liked. You know, I have to be honest, one of my top love languages is gift giving. I love to give gifts. I love to buy things for people. I just really like to do it. It's just what I like to do. That's why I like to keep the little trinkets or dumb things that the kids give me or make me or whatever. I've got a bag of them over the years, and I've kept some of them on my desk and different things. I just liked it. But I was obsessed. I wanted, this was one of the first couple years that Hannah and I were married, I wanted so desperately to buy her some pearls. And I want you to know, I was so excited. I was going to buy her a big matching set of pearls, like real pearls, not like fake, not like real pearls. I sold some guns. I saved some spending money. And for Christmas, I bought her a whole set of pearl jewelry. It went over like a lead balloon. It was awful. And we had a big old fight about it. But she said, babe, what would make you think that I would ever want pearls? When have you ever seen me wear pearls? When have you ever heard me say that I like pearls? What would I have ever done? And now she's apologizing to me. What have I ever done to make you think that I would like that? What did I do? I'm like, I don't know. I just thought you'd like them. It's the details. And it's not the details that you think. It's the details that are actually true. So figure it out. Write it down. Don't mess it up. And you won't struggle there. And the last thing here is just security. And what I mean by that is, guys, and this is where we struggle. We're like, I want to be security for my woman. Like, babe, I got you. No matter where we go, I got you. I'm gonna protect you. I'm gonna guard you. I've got a gun hidden here. I've got a gun hidden there. I've got a gun in the truck. I've got a gun under the seat. In this cereal box, don't ever use it because there's a gun in there. We're like, I want to secure you and keep you safe. Okay, and that's great. But how about consistently protecting and guarding your emotions from her? Okay, I get it. Work sucked and everything went bad. I get it. You got cussed at by the boss for the last hour of the day, and now you're coming home and you haven't prayed about it. Are you going to protect your wife whenever she, hey, babe, I'm so glad you're home. This is broken. Are you going to secure her? Are you going to protect her? Are you going to watch out for her? I get it. Your team got beat by Kansas City by 31 points. God's team, even God's teams lose, you know. Even God's men may stumble and fall sometimes. Your team doesn't win. Do you get to take your frustrations out on the professional players that are making millions and millions more dollars than you'll ever see in your whole life to drop balls and not guard people and not protect people? And it's crazy. The amount of money that they're getting paid to not do their job well. Are you going to take that out on your spouse just because your team doesn't do well? Are you going to still secure her? See, what kind of consistency are you going to walk in? And see, what we've got to know is that you were created for one another. You have different needs. You have different things. And again, these are just three of the highest. There's a bunch of different studies you can look at. These are just the ones that typically pop up at the top. But we've got to know and understand them. And we have to be willing to look ourselves in the mirror and go, I've been doing a really poor job of that here lately. And I need to fix that. Because who else is my wife going to go to? Who else is my husband going to go to? Who else do they have to call on? Well, you're never alone because you've got the Lord. Okay, I get it, but they're married to you. Why don't you help the Lord out a little bit? Why don't you help the Lord out a little bit? Start doing some of the Lord's work, okay? This leads me to my third point. Understanding biblical manhood and womanhood leads us in our fulfillment of each other's needs. See, it's not just about knowing each other's needs. It's about actually fulfilling each other's needs. It's great that you know that I don't like that. Now, what are you going to do about that? Or it's great that you know that I need that. What are we going to do about that? And it's one of my favorite things that Pastor Ashley and Pastor Tim talk about. Whenever we're talking about, towards the end, we talk about we're not setting political goals. Like, we're not going to have political things. Well, I'm going to be more loving, or I'm going to be more careful, or I'm going to... No, what things are you actually going to do? And really, I just want to kind of start here with Ephesians 5:10. It says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. And so here's what I need you to hear, church. A lot of churches have asked men to act like women in order to have good marriages. We're not doing that. I'm not teaching that. You're not going to hear that teach from this pulpit ever. Not from me, not from Mel, not from Ashley. Men, you don't have to. I'm not going to say that. Men, you don't have to wear a skirt and wear a purse. That's right. Yeah. To be a good, godly man. That's right. And that's not how Christianity has to be represented through you. And ladies, you need to hear this. You don't have to be the football playing astronaut, cowboy, CEO, philanthropist, underwater welder, get in there and gut the fish and cut open the... Like, you don't have to do all those things either. You don't have to become what society says you have to be in order to really... This is the kind of marriage that you should want to have. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You're not going to hear that taught here. But because we have men not doing what they should and women not doing what they should, we have marriages leading to death of both spouses. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verse 1. This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And it says, but there was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart. You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to keep or give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. And as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened to her husband. Peter asked her, Was this the price you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor dead. And when the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who had heard about what happened. We have got to stop not being for each other what we both need. We need checks and we need balances. And where we refuse or we decide to let other things creep into our marriage, we will lead each other right to the pit. Men, you start becoming the biblical man your spouse needs when you begin to understand biblical responsibility and sacrifice. Young men, you will become a person worth marrying, a person who someone who has daughters will hope that their daughter can find and marry when you begin to understand biblical responsibility and sacrifice. We do not need our daughters married to someone who has the spirit of Saul, who is a tyrant, who is egotistical and illogical, that will lead a marriage to death. I also don't want my daughter to marry someone with the spirit of Lot, who is spineless, wimpy, and clueless to what God has called him and keeps their family living in a place that they should never be. You men have been called to be like Christ, so therefore learn to take responsibility and learn to sacrifice for your spouse. And women, you start becoming the biblical person that we want our sons to marry when you begin to understand biblical submission and respect. Submission and respect. We don't need our men, our sons, marrying domineering, destructive, manipulative Jezebel spirits who have a desire to control their husbands and everything they do. It leads to death. We also don't need women marrying our sons who have the spirit of Gomer, who are going out with everything and everyone and everything that passes by like a prostitute. Unloyal and disrespectful. We don't need that. Don't want it. It's not going to lead our marriages down the right path. You have been called, women, to be like Christ. Start learning to submit and showing your spouse respect. And this leads me to my last thing that I want to talk about. My fourth point is this. Roles and duties can change dependent on family culture and dynamics. But biblically, there are some things that we must recognize and adhere to. Working wife or not a working wife? Figure it out. Well, she likes to drive and I like to sit in the passenger seat. You figure it out. He likes to mow and I don't. He likes bagpipes. I like contemporary music. You figure it out. That doesn't matter. Okay, but there are some biblical things. There are some things that are non-negotiables. There are some things that if you don't implement it in your marriage, you are going to get it all messed up on top of everything else that you've got happening already. I want you to know I left this space on purpose because I have some things that I want to address here out of Ephesians 5. That's where we're going to finish here. But I want to start here with Joshua 24:15 because this is hard. This is hard. But I just want to go ahead and just give you the same charge. Because you can have whatever kind of marriage you want to have. That's on the table. For however little time, forever, how much you want it to be good or how much, it's on the table, but I'm just, Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, and I'm just going to go ahead and put in your marriage, then choose for yourself this day whom you'll serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, and what I'm going to say is, whether it's the gods of this culture right now, because really, all of us have been raised where the culture has shifted away from biblical marriage into secularism. I think we can all agree with that. or the gods of the Amorites and land you are now living. But as for me and my household and our marriage, we are going to choose to serve each other the way the Lord has commanded us to. Okay, well then what does that look like? We got to start first with Ephesians 5:21. This is for you both. Ephesians 5:21. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So what he's saying here is what we're getting ready to discuss is because we are going to do this not because it might always feel good, not because it might always be easy, not because, but because of the reverence we both have for Christ, we're going to submit to one another. For the ladies, Titus 2, verse 3 through 5 first, and then we'll come back to that in Ephesians. But similarly, teach older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. We already used this verse earlier. That's a brotherly love. But to continue it here, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. Younger women, who are you looking to as an example of how to have a good godly marriage? Well, I just feel like we're going to have one. Well, I have a feeling, and I feel like it's going to be terrible. You need someone who's put some mileage on them tires and knows what the road ahead for you is going to be like. And then when they tell you something, listen. Because that which you have faith to learn, you will never have to learn by experience. I'll say it one more time. That which you have faith to learn, you will not have to learn by experience. And we come back here then, ladies, to Ephesians 5, verse 22 and 24. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. Talking about Christ. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Ladies, you have the ability in marriage through submission to be a representative to those who don't know Christ, to show them how marriage is an example of the type and shadow of the relationship that the church has with Christ. And I want to let you know that is one of the most empowering things that you can do. It's worth noting that you need to understand this. Ladies, submission does not mean a weakness or a lesser than status that you have in the totality of God's plan and purpose for marriage. Because whenever it was just men around, God said, "It is not good that man be alone." One man and one woman. That was God's plan. One man and one woman fulfilling the representation of Christ in the church. And through your submission, through your holy submission, just as we the church submit to our head Christ, you show people God's plan. What does submission look like? It does not mean that you never, ever, ever have a disagreement, another thought, a different opinion, or a better way. You know, it's a partnering. The submission is a partnering. Another way that you can maybe see it, Pastor Ashley is the head of our church. And we go as Pastor Ashley leads us. Mel and I come underneath Pastor Ashley's authority. That does not mean that everything that Pastor Ashley does, now never in front of you guys, never in front of you guys, because we're submitted to him. But privately, and it's very rare, we go, "Hey, What do you think about this? Hey, we've been talking about this. What do you think? What? See, there's a submission to the authority because ultimately he has the final yes or the final no. But him being a good leader, he goes, oh, I've not thought about that like that. And again, very rarely. But what I'm saying, we're not challenging him at every turn because I don't like the way this looks. And we're not talking about sin issues, people. But biblical submission just means a supportive partner. Because ultimately, whenever you stand before God, ladies, you will not go, well, he didn't. The reason why I didn't submit is because he wasn't. You will stand before God for what God has called you to do. And that is, in marriage, a holy submission. That does not make you less of a partner. That does not make you less than equal stakes. That does not mean you don't have that. That is not, you, Eve was pulled out of Adam's rib, not out of his foot bone, not out of his rear end. Okay? Out of his rib. There's more to that than just, and I can even teach in the time I've got left, and I already went over how long I wanted to go. But there's that. For men, Titus 2:2, teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect. Well, you better listen here, boy. You better respect me. Why don't you be worthy of someone's respect? Why don't you be worthy of someone's respect? Why don't you live like somebody that I ought to give respect to? Be worthy of respect and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Young men, who are you looking to as an example of how you're going to act in your marriage? Well, I just feel like I'm doing a pretty good job. Well, everybody else thinks you're awful. So why don't you find somebody who can tell you not just how you feel, but how you are and how you line up with Scripture? And it goes on, Ephesians 5, verse 25. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. Well, that's not that big a deal. I mean, this is why, there's just so much that ties into this, but it's why it grates me when people say, oh, well, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be a part of church. I'm a Christian. I don't need to be church. Christ gave his life up for the church, and you're going to say you don't need to be a part of one. It blows my mind. Christ only intended the church's relationship and him to be an example of how your marriage is supposed to be, but you don't even want to be a part of that. So it's no wonder your marriage is falling apart. Sorry, that's not even in my notes. It says he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. You are to give, men, we are to give our lives up for our wives. Yeah, you better submit to me. Well, I wish I could just do that. Because we're supposed to give our lives up. We're supposed to do whatever it is that we can to present to our wives the life that they need to have. Washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or a wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault in the same way. So that whole example of what Christ, in the exact same way. Not, oh, that's just I'm just trying to get your brain. No, in the equals the same. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates their own body, but feeds and takes care of it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we're the members of his body. Men, I get it. What we are going to be prone to is, I just want to be in charge. You listen to me. You do this for me. You da 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 da. That's what we're prone to. But Christ says we're supposed to give our lives up for our wives. Christ subjected himself to foolishness for the church. And even beyond foolishness, Christ subjected himself to a death that was way earlier than he should have ever had to go through or experience, just so his wife, the church, could be made whole. ladies, if you think we've got the short end of the straw, you don't even know what we're going to have to answer to God for one day. And you don't get to say, well, she wasn't doing what I... You are the head of your house, sir. And you will stand before God, not for how your spouse didn't make it easy for you, not for how what your spouse didn't do for you, sir, but you will stand based on how well you compared with your life and the same with what Christ did for the church. Absolutely. Whew. All I want to show us here is this. There's some things that we can't leave out. There's some things that we can't not quit doing. That means we've got to keep doing them. Try to say that in a way that's catchy. Might have just been more confusing, but that's about the way it goes with me sometimes, Dale. But here's what you got to see. Dale's like, I wasn't even shaking my head. But here's what you got to see. The church is who Christ is coming back for. His bride. That's right. And he is longing for that day. He is longing for you. He loves you. He cares about you. He can't wait for the day where we get to be reunited together. I'm not talking about if we die and we get to go to heaven. I'm talking about the day when he comes back for his spotless bride. The marriage, the unity of marriage is so much bigger than finding some guy who looks a certain way or some girl who looks a certain way. It's about a connection, a spiritual connection that was God's plan from the beginning. Two becoming one flesh. Just as Christ has us, the church, and we become one. We're one in him. We're seated in him. See your marriage this way, and I promise you, things will continue to get better and better. Y'all receive that tonight? All right, that's all I got.
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.